this puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Presenting our first ever 2018 edition of Abandoned Manitoba, Gordon Goldsborough joins me now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Happy New Year.
And to you too.
Now, remind us of the clue, because it was from last year.
That's
so
right.
That was a long time ago.
It was.
2017. What was the clue from December?
Well, I said we were going to visit a building in Winnipeg that reminds us what we used to do with garbage. But, you know, thinking about it after we left last month, it occurs to me there's actually two places not far from each other that tell us that story. So we're actually going to go to two places today.
Okay, perfect. We're going to get value for money.
Indeed.
So tell us about what we're talking about.
Well, we're talking about garbage. And, of course, garbage is a product of consumption. All of us consume and we produce garbage. Governments all over Manitoba have to deal with it. So here in Winnipeg, the history of garbage disposal goes back to the 1880s. The city of Winnipeg purchased a parcel of land, a 10-acre area, on what was at that time the very westward part of the city. The city hadn't grown to the size that it is today. And so they bought a piece of land outside of the city at the corner of what we would call... Well, it's at the intersection of Wellington Avenue and Empress Street, about five blocks north of present-day Polo Park, just to give you an idea of where it was located. And that was became their city dump. So all of the domestic waste, all of the industrial waste, well, even some of the street waste, you know, back in those days, they used work animals for hauling streetcars and delivery trucks and everything. And of course, horses would often drop what they call, I guess the euphemism is road apples.
Oh my God, I've never heard of that one before.
You never heard that expression? Well, of course, they'd take all of this garbage and they would dump it at this site, just, I say, along Empress Street. And of course, over time, the city began growing outwards. And as the city went westwards, the residents became closer and closer to this dump. And of course, inevitably, they began to complain about the smell. You know, there was a great quote I came across, for example, where they said that there were foul odors, noxious gases, and disease-causing germs that were emanating from this dump site. So in response, the city commissioned a company from Minneapolis to come and build an incinerator here in Winnipeg so that at least the organic stuff, you know, things like the manure and so on, could be burned. But the majority of the garbage still went to this dump site on along Empress. So it began to accumulate as a big pile there along the road.
How big did this dump get?
Well, I don't know when the early days, but by the mid-1940s, during the Second World War, the pile was 60 feet high. So it must have been a pretty substantial pile. And in fact, during the war, during the Second World War, the Canadian Army actually looked into the possibility of using explosives to blow up portions of this pile of garbage so they could get down into the what they hoped would be sort of salvageable metal. Because, of course, recycling metal was a big priority during the war. And they thought, there's a bunch of metal buried in that dump. Let's see if we can salvage it. Well, I don't think they actually ever did that. But it just gives you an idea of just how much garbage there must have been in that big pile.
So what ended up happening to this pile of garbage?
Well, inevitably, it became full. I mean, because all of the garbage from the city was being dumped in this pile, it piled up so high that eventually it just ran out of space. So by 1948, the city decided that the dump was, in fact, full. They couldn't put any more garbage there. But actually, they'd already taken account of that because 2 years before that, in 1946, they had actually built a new incinerator. And the intention was that that was what they were going to do with most of the garbage from the city. As opposed to the old incinerator, which was just for a portion of the garbage, this was going to be the primary way to get rid of it. So at a site along Henry Avenue, just a little bit north of Logan Avenue here in Winnipeg, they started building a big incinerator facility.
And that's the second one that you were talking about.
That's right. So the first site we're talking about is the dump, the one along Empress Street. And the second one is actually not very far away. It's only about a mile and a half as the crow flies from the dump site, was this building they built along Henry Avenue, which was going to be the city's major garbage incinerator. And so they started burning the garbage, essentially. But if we just go back for a moment to the garbage pile, they thought, well, now they've got this big pile of garbage. What do we do with it? They said, well, let's turn it into a public green space. So through the 50s and the 60s, the city council worked gradually to turn this site into something useful. The committee that was in charge of it was a woman, was led by a city councilor named Lillian Hallenquist. And people began calling this pile of garbage Lil's Hill. Well, they finally decided, I think they needed a more formal name for it. So they had a public competition for people to give a name to this pile of garbage. And there was all kinds of names suggested, but there were some really good ones, I thought, among the suggestions. One of my favorites was Jubilation Heights. And it was named for the mayor of Winnipeg at the time, Steve Juba. Jubilation.
Very smart.
My absolute favorite, though, was one called Snooks Mountain. And the basis for the name is that back in the early 20th century, there had been a very quick-witted garbage man from Winnipeg who used to attend city council meetings. And he would heckle the councillors from the stands. And everybody knew him, Ginger Snook. And so the thought was, well, let's name this pile of garbage after this quick-witted garbage man, Ginger Snook. But ultimately what prevailed was one of the city councillors suggested that because when you're on the top of the pile, you get a really good view, a panoramic view of the city, let's call it Westview.
Makes sense.
Yeah, not especially creative, but that's the name that it's got today. So you go there and Westview Park is what it is. So in the wintertime, you can toboggan, you can ski off the pile of garbage. In the summertime, you can run around it, you can walk, you could walk your dog. There's a off-leash dog park there. There's even a monument on top of the pile of garbage. So we've turned what was once a sort of a liability into a nice public green space.
And of course, a lot of people just refer to it as Garbage Hill.
That's right. Absolutely. But the official name,
Westview Park. There we go. So what happened to all the garbage that no longer went to the dump after it was closed in 1948?
Of course, they took it to this new incinerator facility they built in 1940, starting in 1946. And in fact, the first thing they built was a 180-foot chimney. The idea was that they were going to burn the garbage, but they didn't want people locally complaining about the stink from the burning. So they had this great big chimney that would send the smoke up, and then it would be exhausted way up in the air. So the hope is that it wouldn't come down in the city, and then people wouldn't complain. They built this big building, and inside it there were three large furnaces. And the idea was that they could handle four garbage trucks at a time. Four garbage trucks would back up to this building, dump their garbage into a big pit. Then a crane would come along and grab the garbage and haul it over and dump it into these big furnaces, and the furnaces would burn it. And by burning, I mean really burning, because the temperature of these furnaces was anywhere from 1,200 to 1,400 Fahrenheit. Equivalent would be about 650 to 750 Celsius, really hot. And so the idea was that anything that was organic would just be turned into, well, basically carbon dioxide and other gases, and there would be nothing left that was organic. And the only thing left would be just some ash. Maybe if there was any metal in the garbage, that would be left behind. But by and large, everything organic would just be sent up the chimney. There was a staff of 22 people. They worked 24 hours a day, three shifts. I mean, it was a big facility because they were burning 300 tons of garbage every day. 300 tons. It's just mind-boggling how much garbage was burned in this big facility. It was opened in 1948. The mayor of Winnipeg, a fellow named Garnet Colter, had a ceremony in which he tossed a lit torch into the furnaces to light these big furnaces so that they could get busy burning garbage.
Very dramatic.
Indeed.
So what ended up happening?
Well, initially they had such demand that the facility actually had to expand. And so by 1960, it had doubled in size. They built a second chimney. So if you go by the site today, there's still these two very large chimneys. The second chimney was connected to five furnaces. So they're now eight furnaces burning garbage, and they could burn, well, apparently they burned 100,000 tons of garbage every year, and that turned down into 25,000 tons of ash, and that they would haul to a landfill in West St. Paul. So everything seemed to be going well, but of course, as we go into the 1970s, we're now more interested in sort of environmental quality, we're worried about pollution, and of course, this big incinerator right in the heart of Winnipeg that's spewing out things like carbon dioxide. Of course, today we see carbon dioxide as a bad thing. You know, it's one of the contributing gases to climate change. So we're worried about, you know, we shouldn't be burning garbage like this. So the city looked into putting, you know, pollution controls on this big incinerator, and it was going to cost them something like $7 million. And they decided that, you know, that just isn't the best use of the money. So the city council decided that they were going to close it. So in April of 1979, the big furnaces went cold. They shut them all down, and instead they began trucking the unburned garbage to a fairly newly opened facility. It had opened in 1973, something called the Brady Road Landfill. And so all the garbage from Winnipeg then started going to that landfill and not being burned. And initially it was just basically like they had done originally along Empress. They just piled it up. But gradually they adopted a new approach. The idea being is that a lot of the stuff that was being dumped wasn't actually garbage that needed to be just destroyed or piled away. It could be reused. It could be recycled. So gradually began adopting a new approach to garbage handling. And so today, just last year, the city announced that they were recycling 36% of the stuff that was dumped at Brady was being recycled. So over a third of the garbage now is actually being recycled. And that's pretty impressive. So in light of that, the city has renamed the facility. It's no longer the Brady Road Landfill. It's the Brady Road Resource Management Facility. So it's, you know, mindful of the idea that we can reuse things instead of just either dumping them, as we did at the beginning of the city, or burning it, as we did for decades, that now we can recycle.
Gordon, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
Now, what's up for next month? What's our clue for February?
Well, some people may remember that last summer we had unusually low water levels in the Assiniboine River. And as a result, a number of abandoned structures that had been mostly underwater were revealed. And so next month, we're going to consider one of these revealed abandoned structures that appeared near Portage la Prairie.
Sounds good. Gordon, thanks so much for coming in today.
See you then.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.